Spirit Catholic Radio, KVSS, Catholic Radio for the Christian community. We are back in Rome. I'm Bruce McGregor, and I'm delighted to have with us one of our directors here on this pilgrimage, Dr. Scott Hahn. Dr. Hahn, good morning and welcome.
Good morning to you, Bruce. It's really afternoon here, but I know there's a time difference between Rome and Omaha.
Yeah, about 7 hours. Now, Scott, the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology is really committed to helping the laity in the Catholic Church really go and grow. Certainly with your conversion, all the many books that you've written, the talks that you give, the pilgrimages that you go on, I mean, you guys are just doing absolutely phenomenal work. And let me have you talk just a little bit about, you know, this particular pilgrimage, what the nature is of a pilgrimage. Maybe people don't understand what these are all about.
Well, the pilgrimage that we're doing this week in Rome and in the last couple of days in Assisi really centers upon the ways in which this area, this whole city which was the center of an empire, had been chosen by God not only to become the center of the church that we believe in as Roman Catholics, but also to be consecrated by the blood of the martyrs. Literally, a few moments ago, we were in the Colosseum, walking around doing the Stations of the Cross, and just, you know, putting ourselves back into time to see how it was that the same Christ who suffered and died for us gave us the Spirit and empowered us and our spiritual forefathers and mothers to offer up their lives in imitation of Christ. And it's just an amazing thing to do the Stations of the Cross there. You know, at the end, we've had a moment to share with about 90 pilgrims the story of St. Gregory in the 6th century, who was approached by some princes from the church in the East. They wanted some relics to take back with them from Rome to the churches in the East. And what Pope Gregory gave them was a bag filled with the sand that had been taken from the Colosseum. When they got it, they were shocked and somewhat offended because they really wanted relics. And Pope Gregory didn't apologize. He said, "This is the most precious ground that's been consecrated by the blood of the martyrs."
Yes.
And this is what makes Rome so special. It's not imperial wealth or power. And he took the bag of sand that they spurned. They rejected it. And in front of them, he squeezed it. And miraculously, blood came out.
Wow.
And he said, "This is the blood of the martyrs, which is the seat of the church." You know, and they took it back with gratitude. And it's a reminder to me that God has attested the church with many signs and wonders. But the greatest wonder of all is just the simple saints who have gone before us, most of whom are not canonized. We don't even know them by name, but through their living witness and through, you know, dying in imitation of Christ's love, they have really become to us the fathers and mothers of the church, passing down to us this living legacy. And as we continue on the pilgrimage, we're now coming to St. Peter in Chains. And this, of course, is the place where Peter was imprisoned before being crucified upside down. And the reality of that is not just a historical fact from the past, but an abiding reality because of Peter's witness now. And what the Scriptures show us, we were talking about this earlier, after the Stations of the Cross, and how the Scriptures remind us that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. They're not simply dead in Christ. They're more alive than we are. And they're more in love with Christ than we are. We're trying to grow to be as in love with Christ as they are. And we realize that through their prayers as well as their holy example, we are kind of spurred on and empowered to continue on in our faithful following of Christ. So, you know, it's a place where the Scriptures really come alive because it's a place where Saints Peter and Paul gave up their lives. And it's really where the gospel was established in a beautiful way. What I'm thinking of now is a catalog of like four or five other things I don't have the time to get into. But it's just one thing after another, these living signs of God's faithful love to his people in the past.
Yeah. Well, Scott, and I mean, it is named the Eternal City, and it certainly is appropriately so. And I think the thing that has really impressed me and has impressed Chris on this pilgrimage and actually being there is the fact that, as she put it, it is really the city of the saints that we've been talking about. There are so many and so many different stories, and well, I'll tell you, I'm just absolutely in awe of everything that's going on over there and how it's affecting Chris. I mean, you can't go there and not be changed.
That's so true. Oh, I tell you, and we're doing some teachings in the evening as well, some serious Bible study. We've been looking at how in God's plan the city of Rome was chosen. St. Jerome and St. Augustine, way back in the 4th and 5th century, recognized from the book of Daniel and famous prophecies that Daniel was given in chapter 2, then in chapter 7, where the Son of Man is envisioned by Daniel. And also in Daniel 9, in these three chapters of Daniel, chapters 2, 7, and 9, the early church, as well as the ancient Jews, really received the clearest teaching, a kind of prophetic timetable as to when the Messiah would come, how long the Jews would have to wait, how they would have to really do the oppression of four consecutive Gentile empires. First, Babylon and Medo-Persia, secondly, then Greece, Alexander the Great, number three, and then finally Rome, which in Daniel's prophetic descriptions, these oracles describe Rome as being, you know, more hideous and more powerful and more seemingly unconvertible than the first three. And yet, instead of just simply praying for God to destroy Rome, Peter and Paul and countless others went to Rome to bear witness to the gospel. The book of Acts ends with Paul under house arrest in the city of Rome, free to preach the gospel and converting many from Caesar's household. And it's just, you know, an amazing thing, because Daniel announced that with the coming of the fourth and final kingdom, the Messiah would come and establish this everlasting kingdom. The kingdom of heaven would come to earth as the Christ became man. And reflecting upon how it was in God's providence that Rome was in power at the time of Christ's coming, and that Christ didn't just come to destroy this political empire, but to really transform it from within, through the martyrs and their witness, but also through the conversion of emperors like Constantine and countless others as well.
Right.
It's just a great thing for us to kind of connect the witness of Scripture as well as the living witness of the saints who have gone before us here.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Scott Hahn, I'd like to thank you. I'm going to let you return to the pilgrimage here for being so generous with your time on a broad note. On a narrow note, I want to thank you very much for your eagle eye in finding my wife's luggage and Susie Malkus's bag as well.
Well, I think the Holy Spirit gave me that. From about 40 yards away, I saw this blue tag, and I went over, and sure enough, Chris McGregor's name was on it, so I snatched it and made sure it didn't end up that pile of unclaimed baggage.
Well, God bless you. Thank you very much. And God bless you for all the work you do at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and everything you do for all of us in the church, Scott. You are a true blessing.
You're welcome. Bruce, you're so welcome, and thank you and Chris for all that you've done with KVSS.